Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
If you have your Bibles, come with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. I'm going to read out of the Amplified version. It says, again, Jesus went into a synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand as the result of an accident or disease. And the Pharisees kept watching Jesus closely to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might get a charge to bring against him formally. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Get up and stand here in the midst." And he said to them, "Is it lawful and right on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to take it?" But they kept silence. And he glanced around them with vexation and anger, grieved at the hardening of their hearts, and said to the man, "Hold out your hand." And he held out his hand, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately held a consultation with the Herodians against him, how they might devise some means to put him to death, to destroy him, another version says. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your evident presence in this place today. Lord, we choose to believe that your presence is with our wonderful congregation and family watching online as well. As we gather around your word this morning, as we choose to sit at your feet, O Lord, we humble ourselves in the process of doing so. And we simply ask you in that place, from that place of humility, to cause our eyes to be opened, our ears to be unstopped, our hearts to be ready and receptive to your word. I pray, Lord, that in the mighty name of Jesus, for anyone who is under the sound of my voice, both in this physical building, but also watching online, and even those who will be watching at a later date, for anyone who is not yet in Christ, that you will open up their hearts to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask for all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I thank you for the anointing, O God, of your Holy Spirit upon your vessel. For without you, it's not going to happen. But with you, it will happen. In Jesus' name, amen. It's time to be restored, church. I don't know what's happening in your world right now. Don't know what's happened. Don't know what will happen. Only God knows. All I can say to you is this. In obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit, it is time to be restored. Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 3, verse 1 says, again, Jesus went into a synagogue, and there was a man, and a man was there who had a withered hand as a result of an accident or disease. This word wither or withered in the English language by definition means to become dry. It means to shrivel. It means to fall into decay or decline. Related words are to diminish, to dwindle, to fade, to wane, and even to disappear. The Greek word, the original meaning of the word in the Greek means to waste away. Now, there are two things that we know about this man's particular account. The first thing that we know is that, we know how his hand became withered. We know how his hand became withered. What we understand from the scriptures is that this man's hand was once normal. His hand was once normal. We will explore that later on when we get to verse 5, but we know that his hand was once normal. So the question needs to be, what happened? How did it become withered? Now, a close study of the scriptures show that this withered hand was not congenital. In other words, it wasn't genetic. It didn't happen at birth. It didn't exist from birth. But rather, it was as a result of an accident or some kind of disease. So we know how the man's hand got withered. The second thing we know is that it was his right hand that was withered. It was his right hand that was withered. Luke chapter 6 verse 6 in the New King James says this. In the same account in the Gospel of Luke, it says this. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So apart from the obvious challenges that most likely would have come as a result of having a withered hand, such as inability to provide for his family, the inability to build a home, and even to hold down a job, it is very important to note that it was his right hand that was withered and not his left. We get that from Luke 6 verse 6. What is the significance of the right hand? The right hand in the scripture and the right hand in Jewish culture is extremely significant. Extremely significant. The scriptures tell us that the right hand represents a number of things. Here's just five of them. The right hand represents the hand of authority. Psalm 110 verse 1 says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." The right hand represents the hand of the greater blessing. Genesis 48 verse 13 to 19 says this, "And Joseph," this is the moment that Ephraim and Manasseh were going to be blessed. Joseph was going to be blessed by Jacob with his two sons. "Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left, and Manasseh to his left hand, with his left hand towards Israel's right, and brought them near. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly from Manasseh, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Now when Joseph saw that his father had laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also will become a people, and he also shall be great. But his younger brother shall be greater than he. His descendants shall become a multitude of nations." So the right hand represents the greater blessing. Number three, the right hand represents the hand of power. Exodus 15:6 says this, "Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces." Number four, the right hand represents the hand of strength. Psalm 81 verse 13 declares, "You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand." And finally, The right hand represents the hand of generosity. Matthew 6:3 says, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." So we see from this that in this man's case, the hand that represented or symbolized his ability, as it were, his ability to exercise authority, to release the greater blessing, to manifest power, to display strength, and to demonstrate generosity, had now withered. God's authority, blessing, power, strength, generosity are five keys that every single one of you must have for kingdom living. Every single one of us must have, working in and through our lives, God's authority, God's power, God's blessing, God's strength, and God's capacity for generosity. These five keys that I've just mentioned, in turn, determine the quality and the effectiveness of four things: our walk, our worship, our witness, and our warfare. Those five things that I've just mentioned determine the effectiveness of our walk, our worship, our witness, and our warfare. In turn, our walk, worship, witness, and warfare are four things that determine the level to which God can use us to advance the kingdom of heaven and to push back the kingdom of darkness on this earth. This is why it wasn't just physical healing that was the greater merit, that was the primary miracle in this account. This man was physically healed, absolutely right. And Jesus healed him because Jesus loved him and because Jesus had a plan and purpose for his life. But there was another reason, and the other reason why he was healed and restored was so that the Lord himself could demonstrate to everyone around, especially the Pharisees, but also to every principality and power, that the kingdom of heaven was about to advance significantly on earth. Amen. And to push back the kingdom of darkness. You need to know that the kingdom of heaven is about to advance through your life. That's why you are here. That's why you have been saved. You have not been saved and redeemed to maintain or to be stagnant or to be dormant. You have been saved. You have been redeemed. You have been set free by the power of Christ because God has called you and raised you up to advance the kingdom of darkness on earth, to advance the kingdom of heaven on earth, and to push back the kingdom of darkness. This is why many have experienced, only the Lord knows, but I'll come to that in a moment. So how does this apply to your life? Let's go back to the verse 1, Mark 3, verse 1. And he entered the synagogue again. He entered the synagogue again. He entered the synagogue, the place of worship, the place of the word. The synagogue represented the place of worship and the place of the word. He entered the synagogue again, and a man was there with a withered hand. This is what the Lord Jesus did every single Sabbath. So the question that I have is this. Or the observation that I have is this, rather, that there are many people who come to church, not only to our church, but to churches all across the UK and even all across the world, come to church every single Sunday, watch online every single Sunday, and for many years they have done so with a withered hand. So the question I have for you is this. Is there any part in your life today that was once whole, flourishing, and abounding, but has now withered away, dried up, or dwindled, or even disappeared? Maybe there was a time when you were able to exercise great authority over the powers of darkness, but now the authority you walk in today is diminished because something has happened. Can it be that there was once a time when you used to be a true conduit of the greater blessing of God, but now the blessing of the Lord does not flow as easily as it once did through your life? Perhaps a few years ago, the power of God surged through your body and through your life as you saw the lost saved, the sick healed, captive set free, the demonic realm oppressed. But now you have experienced a significant lack of power. Has the strength that you once had all but gone? You were once able to endure and withstand the hardships and the pressures and the challenges that come with being a true disciple of Jesus Christ, but now you easily cave when the slightest amount of pressure is applied. Or maybe you used to be a very generous person, generous with your time, your talents, your gifting, and with your finance even, but today it is a very different story. Apart from these five main areas, could it be that your faith, your hope, your love, your joy, your peace, your courage have all withered away or are withering away? If so, the question also now has to be, how did this happen? We know that this man's right hand was once as whole, as strong, and as operational as his left hand, maybe even more so. We know that when he was born, both of his hands were perfect and functional. But we also know that at some point in his life, he had an accident, he sustained an injury, he contracted some kind of disease, and as a result, his hand became withered. It began to slowly and irreversibly fade away, wither away, wilt away. You see, church, my brother, my sister in Christ, when you became a born-again Christian, your right hand, in the spiritual sense, was as whole and as strong and as operational as your left hand. You exercised great authority. You released the blessing effortlessly. You displayed the power of God. You exerted supernatural strength. You demonstrated an uncommon generosity. I know that that was my experience when I got saved. That honeymoon period of being born again. When you haven't started swimming upstream yet, because that's the born again experience. You're swimming up. You're not swimming downstream. We've only just started the journey to swim upstream. And then things start coming at us. In that moment of just starting out the journey, you know, all these things are firing on all cylinders. We are binding and loosing. We are casting out. We are laying hands on the sick. I remember just laying hands on someone. I'd only been saved for about 3 weeks. And I just heard that if you lay hands on someone and you pray in the name of Jesus, they'll be healed. So I just laid hands on someone. I prayed in the name of Jesus. And guess what? They were healed. There was no doubt. There was nothing. There was nothing. It was just a simple childlike faith. When you were born again, all of these things happened. But apart from this, you abounded in faith. You abounded in love, in hope, in joy, in patience, and in peace. You walked. Your walk was one with divine purpose. You worshipped with incredible exuberance. You witnessed with supernatural power. You engaged even in spiritual warfare with unshakable courage. You saw the kingdom of heaven advance and the kingdom of darkness being pushed back. But then, somewhere along the line, something happened to change all that. The question is, what was it? What caused your right hand, as it were, to begin to wither away? Was it an injury of some kind or some trauma that afflicted your soul? Was it some kind of spiritual disease like offense or unforgiveness or disappointment or rejection or pride or complacency that affected your heart? Or was it just an outright attack, spiritual attack of the enemy that you have never fully recovered from? Or has that spiritual muscle simply experienced atrophy because of lack of use? Some of you know my testimony. Some of you have known me since I was in my 20s, and some of you my early 20s. I lived in the gym. Gym, before I got saved, was my God, and even slightly after I got saved, to be really honest. And the day that the Lord said to me, stop working out, stop going to the gym, was the day that I knew it had become my idol, because I felt pain when the Lord said, stop going to the gym. Because I put it before Him, I put it before Sue. This was before we even had children. And I was all right throughout my 20s, throughout my 30s. But now that I'm in my 40s, I'm like flapping things. There's a flap. What's going on here? What's happening? All through that time, I could still hold my own. But I'm thinking, now what's going on? You know? When the muscle is not used, it will waste away. It will wither. So before we even, because for some of you today, this is where recovery, and you're going, something is about to happen. For some of you, maybe it was some emotional trauma. For some, it might be a disease, like I've said, of unforgiveness, offense, whatever it is. Maybe you were spiritually attacked, or maybe you just haven't used that muscle for a while. I know that over the last 2 years, many haven't, especially. This is true for many of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because of the impact of separation, the impact of a breaking in our normal operation and function as believers. Because of what has been introduced into this world, there are many right now, all across the world, in the body of Christ, who stopped using faith muscles, hope muscles, love muscles, authority muscles, blessing muscles, generosity muscles, power muscles, strength muscles that they once did. And as a result of that, they began to wither away. But you need to know, whatever it is, all of the above, you need to know today that Jesus is going to restore your right hand. He is going to make it whole again. Church, it is time to be restored. My brother and sister in Christ, it is time to be restored. We are not going to be stagnant. We're not going to be dormant. We're not going to be in a standstill. We are advancing. We are moving forward. It has to happen. So therefore, it is time to be restored. Jesus will restore your ability to exercise His authority, to release His blessing, to manifest His power, to display His strength, and to demonstrate His generosity. But not like before, more than before, because this time is going to be His right hand that He will give to you. Oh. I pray that you meditate on that as we go along, because I'm going to come back to it. Today, He is going to restore everything that has withered away in your life, and you can believe that to be the case. If you can believe, I know you can't believe, but I'll say it again. If you can believe today, even for you watching online, if you can believe, you will experience His powerful restoration. Because church, it's time to be restored. It's time to be restored. Before this work can happen, we need to be mindful of four things. Four things need to take place, looking at this wonderful man's account. You see, before Jesus can do what He desires to do, four things have to happen. Number one, for this work of restoration, because people will say, well, how come it hasn't happened as of yet? How come I'm still in this situation? Well, I'm hoping that these four things will help shed some light on that. And if you can apply these four things in obedience, then by the grace of God, you will see something happen. Number one, you need to become aware of your current condition. You need to become aware of your current condition. Again, Mark 3:1, he entered the synagogue again, Jesus, and there was a man with a withered hand. This man was fully aware of his condition. We need to become aware of our current condition. We need to be honest about its level of severity. It's one thing for me to say, or for someone to say to me, you've changed. And you know, that's happened before. And when someone says that to you, ooh, ouch. It's happened to me once. And someone said that I was at a conference. And I had just gone through a terrible time of just not understanding what was going on with my walk with God. And I knew that a lot of these things that I'm sharing with you had been occurring in my life. I didn't know them. I didn't know then with this clarity, but I know now that then that was what was happening. And this precious man said to me, a prophet of the Lord, he looked at me in the eye and he just simply said, loose him, Lord. And what happened? Naturally, I became very defensive. What do you mean? What do you mean, loose me? I'm not bound. How dare you? How dare you? But he just said nothing else because he knew that he was absolutely bang on. I did not know the severity of my situation. I didn't know how severe it was, and neither was I desperate enough to see it changed until someone, by the grace of God and by the prophetic gift, opened my eyes to see it. And then I realized it's time for me to cry out to God. So that's the first thing. Number two, you need to recognize, oh Lord, help us with this one. You need to recognize the Pharisaic influences in your life. You need to recognize the Pharisaic influences in your life. Mark chapter 3, we're sticking with our text. Mark chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says this. And Jesus went into a synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand as a result of an accident or a disease. And the Pharisees kept watching him. It wasn't just a quick glance and a look away. They kept watching him. The Pharisees kept watching Jesus closely to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might get a charge to bring against him. Jesus said nothing about coming in and healing anybody. Neither did the man with the withered hand say, oh, Lord Jesus is here. Messiah is here. I kind of believe that he is. And look at my arm, look at my hand. I hope he heals me today, and Lord, will you heal me, Lord? None of that happened. Maybe the man didn't think he was worthy or worth it. Jesus may have known or not known. Oh, Jesus saw it. He saw it. He saw it not only in the physical, he saw it in the spirit. But I can tell you what, let's just give both of them the benefit of the doubt. One thing is for absolute certain. Even if Jesus wasn't aware of the situation of this man, even if this man wasn't aware of his own situation, the Pharisees were. So that's why we need to recognize this Pharisaic influence in our lives. Why? Because a Pharisaic influence in the life of a person is one that is religious, legalistic, condemning, judgmental, dishonoring, disempowering, unbelieving, hardened, prideful, and destructive. When such a spirit or an influence is in operation in our lives, but also in the lives of others, because understand this now, no child of God is a victim. We are only victors. The only time we become victimized is if and when we put ourselves in a position of being victimized. But if we know that regardless of what happens to us, we are victors, we are victorious, even when the assault comes, the assault will come to somebody who knows that they have already won the victory. So whatever you do to me today, I can guarantee you, I have already won tomorrow. You want to beat me up today, I am still winning tomorrow. Amen. Whatever happens, you call me whatever you want to call me, it's not going to change who I am tomorrow. Amen. I am a child of the living God. It can't change that. You see, you got to understand, this is why Jesus, even though he was lacerated and he was nailed to that cross, you could look at him and think, oh my goodness, he is a victim. He has been victimized. But he said with every single stroke and every single blow and every single pound of that hammer, I am victorious. I am victorious. I am victorious. And you do whatever you need to do in me and to me today, because tomorrow I'm gonna rise again. You're gonna see me again. That ain't gonna change. You see, child of God, this is the paradigm shift that we have got to begin to adopt. If we don't, I won't go through the list again, don't worry. But if we don't, guess what? Those seeds will start to grow. And before we look at anybody else, look at yourself. Amen? Amen? Because if we can know this victory here, whatever happens or whatever comes will not make any difference whatsoever. It won't. That being said, we're all on a journey. And there are some, as time has passed on, have found themselves surrounded by this influence. Influence of pride. Influence of this, I'm talking about from other people. Influence of being disempowered, being dishonored, being judged, being just being in a destructive situation. And as a result of that, just like this man, surrounded by all these Pharisees, all of them, Carolyn, could you pass me those papers, please? Just surrounded by all of them, you had one, and they are destructive. That destructive relationship. What about that prideful person? Just full of pride in your life. What about the one whose heart is so hardened? What about the one who is just, you have dreams, you have visions. You better not tell them, because if you tell them anything, they're going to shoot it down. What about the one who is just disempowering? You want to run, you want to fly, but they said, oh, forget about it. You've tried it before. You failed. All right. What about the one who is dishonoring, and the one who is judgmental, and the one who is condemning, and the one who is legalistic, and the one who is even religious? He was surrounded by Pharisees. So that's why you need to recognize them, both in us, but all around. Because then we'll be ready for the third thing. We will need to then change our position and location. To recognize and overcome the Pharisaic influence in your life, but also in the lives of those around you, you need to be ready to change your position and your location. Number one, so the first one, to change your position, where do we see this? Luke 6, 7, and 8, the same account, different gospel. It said, so the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. This is speaking of Jesus. But he knew their thoughts. Oh, I wish I could spend time with that one. He knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand up. Oh, arise and stand here, should I say. Arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. In the original language, the word arise means to awaken. To awaken, to be awakened, or to rise again. And to stand, in the original language, means to stand still or to stand firm. So we need to change our position from a position of sitting. Blessed is he who does not sit, who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the path of the unrighteous, or sit in the company of mockers. It's a gradual process. You don't just come into a situation and you find yourself sitting amongst all this stuff. Because at one point, you are not just walking, you are running. But then something happened and you stopped running. And you started walking. And then something happened, you stopped walking. And you just stood. And then something happened, you stopped standing. And you just sat. The restoration that Jesus is about to bring is the reverse. He's going to first of all get you to change your position. He's going to get you to stand up again from that place of despair, from that place of disappointment, from that place of brokenness, from that place of dejection. He's going to get you to stand up, change your position. And then, once you've changed your position, he's going to ask you to change your location. I'm not talking about moving away or leaving church or whatever, unless the Lord says so. I'm not talking about breaking up relationships. No, I'm talking about any of that. Unless it applies to your situation. But when you have changed your position, he now says, it's no good getting up and standing because you're still in the midst of all of this. He says, now you have to step forward. You can't just stay where you are. If you stay where you are, these influences might eventually get you to sit down again. This man had gone to the synagogue every single day. He had a withered hand, Sabbath after Sabbath, and he just, quiet. No one's going to notice me. If I stay silent, no one will notice me because I'm just embarrassed. Look, how can I be a man? And this applies to women as well. I mean, my authority is gone. Power's gone. My ability to bless is gone. Look at my right hand. It's gone. I want to be generous. I can't be because of what this represents. So I'm just going to sit here around all of this, around all of this. So Jesus says, you've got to stand up. Change your position, and then you have to change your location. He said you got to stand up, and then you got to step forward. You have to step forward. Got to change your location. So we see that in Mark 3, verse 2 and 3. He says, so they watched him closely, whether he will heal on the Sabbath, so that they may accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, step forward. Step forward. That word in the original language is misos, which means to step from the midst or into the midst. to step from among, or to come out from among. It's the same word that we find in 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from among misos, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch that which is unclean, and I will receive you. You got to change your position. You got to change your location. We need to step forward from the place of bondage to all the Pharisaic influences to the place of freedom. You need to move from the place of hopelessness to the place of hopefulness. You need to move, excuse me, you need to move from the place of fear to the place of faith. You need to move from the place of Pharisaic control to the place of messianic freedom. And the fourth thing, so just to recap, because I've shared a lot. Recap, number one, you need to be mindful, completely mindful of your situation. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Number two, you need to be mindful or aware of all of this stuff. Because sometimes we've been in it so long, we don't even know we're in it anymore. Thirdly, you've got to change. Something has to shift. There needs to be a shift. Look, your position, your location, you need to do something to get away from that. So that then you can do the fourth thing, which is to simply obey. Obey the word of the Lord. This is one of the reasons why obedience is difficult. Obedience is difficult. It's very, very hard. It's not that we're trying to be rebellious or anything. But obedience really comes from the place of trust. And trust comes from the place of relationship. The problem is, if this has been our reality for so long, and this is the atmosphere that we have lived in for so long, it will eventually, we still love Jesus, but our knowledge of him will begin to wane. Because our relationship will start to break down. We don't mean to do it, but it just happens. But as we step away and we step forward and he says, come here, come here. You come away from that and come to me. Come away from there and come to me. This is what he is saying. The moment we do that, we begin to know him again. Then we begin to trust him again. And then we can obey him again. So he says in Mark 3:5, and he glanced around them with vexation and anger, grieved at the hardening of their hearts, and said to the man, hold out or stretch out your hand. And he held it out, and his hand was completely restored. Praise the Lord. You see, the last time this man stretched out his hand, can have the keys back, please. The last time this man stretched out his hand, he saw a withered hand. But because of his obedience, this time he saw a hand that had been restored. Jesus knows that the last time you tried to stretch out your right hand, as it were, you saw a withered hand. The last time you tried to exercise authority, you could not exercise it like before. In other words, you saw a withered hand. The last time you tried to manifest his power, you couldn't manifest it like before. In other words, you saw a withered hand. The last time you tried to release his blessing, you couldn't release it like before. In other words, you saw a withered hand. The last time you tried to display his strength, you could not display it like before. In other words, you saw a withered hand. The last time you tried to demonstrate generosity, you could not demonstrate it as before. In other words, you saw a withered hand. Now, this is what happened the last time. But you need to know that this time it's going to be different. Today it's going to change. Jesus is going to completely restore every area of your life that has been withered. Because church, it is time to be restored. Amen. This word to be restored is a powerful word. It means separation from the former. Separation from the former, literally, this is what it means. Separation from the former negative influence in order for you to enjoy what is forward. To be restored means to restore what was taken away by a destructive or life-dominating power, and to bring it back to full freedom. To bring it back to the liberty of the original standing in order for it to be enjoyed again. To be restored, of course, also means to restore something to its original position or condition. This is why when we believe God to manifest His power for healing, we are not just content with healing as it were, but we are asking Him to bring us back to a place of divine health as it was in the garden before there was any sickness. This is why He came. This was the purpose of the cross. So when the Lord restores you today, He is going to not just give you what you once had, but is going to give you something that is so much more. It's not just your right hand that is going to give to you. It's His right hand. Because it will be a supernatural right hand. And the Lord restores that which has been taken away from you. He doesn't just do a patch-up job. Behold, He makes all things new. Hallelujah. Today, if you can believe, the Lord Jesus is going to restore you. He will separate you from the former and negative influence in your life to enjoy that which is forward. He will restore that which was taken away from you by a destructive or life-dominating power. He will restore you back to full freedom for you to enjoy this freedom again. And He will restore your life to its original position and condition. Again, church, what has caused your right hand, even today, to be withered away? Was it an injury? Was it an affliction to your soul? Or was it some kind of spiritual disease? Like all the things I've mentioned, was it an attack? Is it atrophy? Whatever it is, you need to know that today, Jesus is going to restore your right hand. He is going to make it whole again. Church, it is time to be restored. Hallelujah. Because in the name of Jesus, and by the power of this name, by the authority of this name, you will once again exercise great authority over the kingdom of darkness. You will once again release the blessing effortlessly. You will once again stand to your feet as I declare this over you. You will once again manifest the power of God through your life of obedience. You will once again display spiritual strength and fortitude. You will once again demonstrate an uncommon generosity. You will once again abound in faith, in love, in hope, in joy, in patience, and in peace. You will once again worship God with incredible exuberance. You will witness with supernatural power. You will once again walk with great purpose. You will once again witness with the power of Christ. You will once again make warfare with unshakable courage. You will see the kingdom of heaven advance and the kingdom of darkness push back, because even today, it is time to be restored in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit. It's 12:30, gone to 12:30. Let's just give the Lord a few minutes, maybe 10 minutes or so. Come, Holy Spirit. I want to say to you that He is faithful and He is a good Father. He will not leave you or forsake you. But He's saying to somebody right now, I've seen you. He is El Roy. He is the Lord who sees. He is the Lord who sees, and He's saying to somebody, I've seen you. I've seen that hand. You've been hiding it away, but I've seen that hand. You've been trying to conceal it, but I've seen that hand. And even today, He says, if you can just get up, if you can just change your position, change your location, something is going to happen, because you're going to draw near to Me, and I will draw near to you. And in the atmosphere of My presence, something is changing right now. Let's just wait. Hallelujah. You're perfect in all of your ways. He's perfect in all of his ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. I've left it on purpose. I'm walking on them. Because that's all part of the breaking. That's all part of this thing breaking over your life, from your life, within your life, around your life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. From today, it all changes from today. It is time for restoration. In the name of Jesus. 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 The closer we get to the return of Jesus, the hotter your fire is going to burn. The closer you get to the return of your Messiah, the more the anointing is going to be on your life. The closer you get to the return of King Jesus, the greater the anointing, the greater the authority, the greater the power, the greater the strength, the greater the courage, the greater the glory. In the name of Jesus, is not going to wane. The devil wanted it to wane, but he has lost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to say, I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim. I am victorious. Glory to God. Because you're perfect in all of your way to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. Come on. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. Can we have the rest of the band back, please? You're perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
You are
perfect in all of your ways.
You are, Lord.
You are perfect in all.
Standing on it. Walking on it.
To us.
One more time. He is perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. Oh, yes, Lord.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
Oh, my Jesus.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
To us.
To us.
One more time. One more time. is gone, but there's an anointing here to break the yoke of bondage. The thief that has kept you in this place. Oh, you've been coming to church. You've even been reading your Bible. You have been serving the Lord. You have been giving to mission, giving to the church. You've been doing all the things that you can, but you have been doing them all this while with a withered hand. Even God has seen your faithfulness, but he says it's time. It's time. He is serving notice to the one who has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He is serving notice to the one who is the thief. Now you got to understand, I saw this week and it blessed me. And it says that a thief doesn't come the thief comes and tries to break into your house, not because of what he hasn't seen, but because of what he has seen. A thief will not waste his time or her time with a house that is empty, a house that is in disarray. A thief won't bother with that. The reason why this devil has been messing with you is because he sees what is inside of you. He knows who is inside of you. He knows that there is something inside of you that is going to change the world, that is going to push back his plans. So that's why he has come to rob you of something. That's why he has come to mess with your mind, mess with your body, mess with your relationships. That's why he has caused this hand to shrivel up. But I'm here today to tell somebody that you are about to be restored in the name of Jesus Christ. So here's what we're going to do. I'll just do it in faith. Let's see what the Lord says. We're going to have our first altar call in 2 years and 3 months. Please, someone take this away. Please take this away. Hey! Because today is time for restoration. Oh, we could have done it at the beginning of the year and have all the feel-good old beginning of the year. And we could have done it when we thought COVID was over. But COVID is not over. We're still in the midst of it. They talk about peak this and peak that. We could have done it when the war was over. We could have done it when the price hikes were over. We could have done it when a fear of nuclear war was over. But I'm telling you today, church, Jesus isn't waiting for that. He is waiting for you. He is not waiting for that. He is waiting for you to say, God, here I come. I don't know where you are today, but if you know what, by the grace of God, only by the grace of God, I have shared this morning has resonated with your heart, and you're like, yes, Lord, I recognize my right arm, my right hand has withered or is withering. The authority that I used to walk in, Lord, I know it's gone down. The power has gone down. My ability to bless and just see the blessing of God released from my life has gone down. My ability to stand in strength, the things that didn't rock me before are rocking me now. Lord, I can see that. Friend, I want to say to you, even if it has moved by 1 degree in the wrong direction, he says that's not good enough. Even if it is standing still, even if it's stagnant, that's not good enough. He says restoration has to come because it's time to move forward. So if the Lord is speaking to you, Our altar is now open for the first time in 2 years and 3 months. I want to invite you to come to the front right now. Come on. Shantakarabaseke. If today you're saying, yes, God, I am not staying in this place. I am changing my position. I am changing my location. I am moving away from these influences. I am moving away from the deception. I am moving away. LWC, it is time. It is time. It is time. It is time. Hallelujah. Let's just wait on the Lord. Let's just wait on the Lord together. Let's just wait on the Lord together. Oh God, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are
perfect in all of your ways.
That's your Father you're talking about.
Lord, you are
that's your
perfect
Father.
In all
that's the one who defines you. That's the one who's given you your identity. That's the one who loves you today. That's the one who says you are mine. That's the one who's called you his child. He's called you his baby, his son, his daughter.
Lord, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect.
Wait on the Lord. Just want to release anyone. We want to bring out there. Our service has finished. Please keep the live stream running, if possible. Want to release anyone who maybe you need to get your children from next door. Just want to release you, but our service is finished. But I want to encourage you in the next breath to remain, because this may be for you as well. So just wait on the Lord together. Let's wait on the Lord together. We're not going to sing. We're not going to do anything. Just you can play softly. But just wait on the Lord. Just you and Him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 All across this room. All across this room. All across this room. I was watching online. Freedom. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We serve notice. We serve notice from today to every thieving, robbing, destructive, wasting influence. Everything that has been legalistic, dishonoring, destructive, prideful, religious, judgmental, unbelieving, condemning, hardened, disempowering. We bring it before the altar. Not, this ain't no physical altar. We bring it before the spiritual altar that we make before you, O God of Israel, according to our faith. And we stand before your throne, even as we stand before and even upon this altar. And we bring this to you, Lord. Both influences within our lives, but also with those around us. Relationships, friendships, work colleagues, managers, whoever they may be, whatever they may be, Lord, in us, and pastors, church leaders, including ourselves, Lord, we bring ourselves into this as well. And even we are constantly in a state of repentance. And we are doing this, Lord, because today, you said today is the day of restoration. And Lord, we are doing this, Lord, by faith. And where we have been touched, Lord, physically, something has come to rob physically, something has come to rob spiritually, something has come to rob and to destroy emotionally in our minds, something has come to rob and destroy in our relationships, something or someone has come to rob and destroy in our finances. God, we say from today, it changes. Amen. Restoration in the name of Jesus. So in the name of the Father, amen, amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we discharge our authority, which is the authority of Christ, to dismantle, break, undo every single thing that has been done over the last day, week, month, or even years, everything that has been put in place to bring about the enemy's plans, we say, from today, it finishes, it ends, it's over. In Jesus' mighty name. And as a physical sign of that, hallelujah! 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 In the mighty name of Jesus, it's time to be restored. And now, Lord, we believe by faith that we have been restored. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace, his shalom. And all of God's people said, amen. Come on, let's give him glory. Amen. God bless you all.